Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
Well, this is a complicated title, this Navigating the Intersection of Grace and Organizational Responsibility. Grace, this is one of those topics that I probably wish we had a nickel for every time grace has been talked about in this assembly hall. But I would like to talk about it again today, but in the context of the workplace. So that is my plan this morning. And with that, let me jump into it. I did want to just clarify, for those who are National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation fans, we're not talking about this grace, okay? And this, I had a hilarious audio clip. Again, it all went south this morning, but just trust me, you would have loved it. Bill Reichert would have loved it. No, we're talking about this grace. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to transition to my notes here as well, but we're talking about favor or goodwill. At least this is how Webster's describes grace: benevolence, love, kindness, charity, forgiveness, mercy, clemency, pardon, reprieve, and leniency. So, I'm a simple thinker. The way I see it, there are really two types of people in the world. You've got these folks. These are folks, you know, if you pull out in front of these guys on the highway, they're not going to extend a lot of grace. And if you were here a few weeks ago for Bert's chapel presentation, you know, Bert is a card-carrying member of the Road Rage Club, so if you're in this camp with me, you know who you are. But we also have these people, these kind, patient folks, and these are folks you can pull out in front of on the road, and they just smile and wave you on in, and I don't know what makes these people tick, but I'm always impressed with them, and I don't know if she's here, but I'm pretty sure Amber Clark is in this club right here. Is Amber here this morning? But she's online. Amber, that's for you. So I think that there are some universal truths as I think about grace. And, you know, we all mess up. I think that we all can agree we all mess up. And when we do, we desire grace from others. But another unfortunate truth is that if we're the ones who have been messed upon, if you will, we don't always readily extend grace to those who have goofed up. And I will tell you, I'll tell you a little story. This is in my almost 53 years now. I've learned that God has a sense of humor, and sometimes He incorporates that sense of humor into tough lessons about grace and humility. So I'll introduce you to the silver bullet. This was our minivan. Like many of you who've had young kids, you probably had a similar looking van, and I did not want to like this van when we bought it, but I did like this van very much. We had it for probably close to 12 or 13 years, and as soon as we bought the van, I mean, we'd only had it for a few weeks, and she was getting her first wash, and so I remember vividly being in the driveway, and I had my bucket and my sponge, and it's a perfect summer afternoon, and I'm washing the Silver Bullet. And so I began to wash. As I washed around the front of the van, I realized there are some scratches underneath. And what I realized is that Tracy had driven the van up onto a tall curb, and she had scratched the underside of the Silver Bullet. So, in a place, of course, where nobody could ever see it. But I remember going into the house and really laying it on pretty thick. I mean, I lectured her about this. And I remember saying these words, like, you know, you've really got to start paying more attention to what you're doing. I said that to her. And you know where this is going. It was exactly 1 week later that we were in a parking lot, and I backed out of the parking space, and I backed directly into a vehicle behind me. And when the sound of the crunching metal ceased, I heard these words: you know, you really should pay more attention to what you're doing. Yeah. And so I actually ended up backing it a few weeks later into my own vehicle as well. So I did that. But this question of how does the topic of grace extend to the workplace? And this really is a question that I have been asking myself since arriving here at CMDA. Because I'll be honest with you, in the 27 years of my career prior to CMDA, the topic of grace wasn't really an issue. For those of you who worked in the secular workplace, you know, things are a bit more black and white when it comes to particularly employment issues. So it wasn't something that we talked about a lot. So with that, I'm going to make some shocking statements here. I promise none of them are vulgar, but here goes. Christian workplaces, they are not immune to people who gossip, people who argue, people who are petty, people who are sarcastic, people who say hurtful things, people who lie, people who waste the organization's time and resources, people who perform poorly, people who are high maintenance, people who make bad decisions, and people who behave badly. And we could go on and on. Now, of course, none of these people work here, nor have they ever worked here. But I'm just saying, Christian workplaces are not immune to these folks. So the truth is this. People issues do exist within Christian workplaces. And I would say that they may even be more prevalent in a Christian workplace than a secular workplace. Now, why is that? Well, I think it's because Satan's working overtime within our walls. But this really was one of my first reality checks when I came to CMDA, because I think I had the unrealistic expectation that this Christian workplace that we all work in, I think I thought it would be, you know, rainbows and butterflies 4 days a week. I mean, I can remember thinking, I don't even know what an HR guy would do inside a Christian workplace. But we have our challenges. Yeah, just like any other employer. So here's the overarching question in my mind. As Christians, do we have an obligation to deal with employee issues, with coworker issues, differently than non-Christians or differently than a secular workplace? I mean, we've got all the policies and procedures, and isn't it enough that we just follow those protocols that we have in place? But I would argue this, that, you know, this is about the time that this girl Grace sticks her nose into the conversation, and things get a little more complicated when grace becomes a factor. So I got to thinking, you know, what if the Bible talks about grace? And, you know, it occurred to me, maybe that's where I should look. And lo and behold, it does say a lot about grace. But, you know, we know this. The Bible defines grace as unmerited favor from God toward humanity. So let me take just a little deeper dive, share a few verses of Scripture with you. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." 2 Corinthians 12:9, "For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So the Bible has a lot to say about grace. And I want to share with you also, just a few examples of grace from Scripture, and we all know these stories. I'll begin with the prodigal son from Luke. We know this story. It's the story of a wayward son who squanders his inheritance, but he's welcomed back by his father with open arms, symbolizing God's unconditional love and forgiveness. Then we have the story of David, who, despite his sins, and there were many, receives God's grace and is ultimately referred to as a man after God's own heart. Then there's the account of the woman caught in adultery, also highlighting much grace, as Jesus forgave her and urged her to sin no more, showing his mercy instead of his judgment. And then the story of Rahab, which we're also familiar with. Rahab demonstrated her faith in God, and it led to her being spared during the fall of Jericho and ultimately being included in the lineage of Jesus. So I think we can all agree that Christ extends grace to us in abundance, and we should be expected to extend grace in abundance to those in our lives. But as I've said, factoring grace into the equation, it certainly has the potential to complicate a situation and in particular as we're talking about employment situations. So that's where we find ourselves back here at this intersection of grace and organizational responsibility. Asking some important questions when we get here. Questions like, what's the right and responsible thing to do when we have an employee issue? What's the right and responsible thing to do for the ministry, for other staff, or for the employee at the center of this conversation? Now, I will also tell you this. Nowhere in the definition of grace do we see words like ignore or compromise or capitulate. In terms of a grace-focused culture, it doesn't mean that we have to accept mediocrity or that we have to avoid having what can be some tough conversations. I mean, to the contrary, we still hold ourselves and our colleagues to a high standard. We don't overlook bad behavior or poor performance, and we meet the challenges that we face here in the workplace. We meet them head on, but we also have some responsibilities in a grace-focused workplace. At least I would argue that we have some unique responsibilities. So I think for us to have this grace-focused culture here at CMDA, it means that we should do things like show love and kindness, even in the toughest circumstances. It means that we should act with patience and intentionality to try to correct behavior or performance, or consider what other external factors are maybe affecting someone's performance or their mood or their interpersonal interactions. We should show empathy and benevolence and forgiveness and mercy and leniency. In short, we should show grace whenever possible. We should try to view circumstances from more than one angle, maybe from more than our own angle, to see, again, things from different perspectives. We should seek wise counsel. Certainly, we should pray. And then when we have conflict, we should endeavor to address that conflict in accordance with Matthew 18. So, and I would say that these guidelines that I've laid out here are not just applicable to supervisor-subordinate relationships, but they're equally applicable to our peer-to-peer relationships. And just think how much more effective we could be if these were our go-tos, these were our knee-jerk reactions when we had employee issues or coworker issues. But I will say this. Despite our best efforts to extend patience and grace and training and correction, sometimes the right thing to do is to say goodbye to somebody. And we've seen that happen here in the past. We have. And that is the elephant in the room, I would say. But, you know, there's a number of issues that we've had to take into consideration. Maybe the work's not getting done, or maybe it's not getting done well. And that's placing stress on other employees who have to pick up the slack. Or maybe the whole department is suffering from one toxic personality. Or maybe the job simply isn't a good fit for someone's skills. But at the end of the day, if the organization's suffering, if other employees are suffering, then some action is required. And I'll tell you, that always leads to some difficult questions. Questions like, when have we extended enough grace? When have we allowed a situation to linger too long? Is it less disruptive or controversial to just avoid the issue altogether? Or, you know, have we done all we can do? Or is it time to move on? And it's been my experience that every situation is unique. And there's no one size fits all when it comes to these situations. And I'll also say this. Anytime we have to say goodbye to a team member, there's going to be consequences. And we know that. We know it's taxing on staff morale when we have to say goodbye to someone. It has a tendency to create gossip, and people form alliances and take sides in those situations. It creates hardship for the individual who's been impacted. It creates hardship for the department that's been impacted. And it creates turnover. And turnover has the potential to damage our organizational reputation. But I will also say that sometimes it improves. To say goodbye to someone has the potential to improve organizational health and improve morale. But the reality is, anytime we have to go through this process, there are going to be consequences. So, again, back to this intersection of grace and organizational responsibility. I know this is a heavy topic, but I feel like, you know, this is what God had for us today. But I want to end on some encouragement. because we need to navigate these choppy waters gracefully. So I would encourage us to, let's all try to extend an abundance of grace and patience to one another. Let's address issues directly and not resort to gossip or negative talk. Let's focus on encouraging one another and building one another up. And then lastly, let's not jump to conclusions or make unfair assumptions. I would say, in short, let's try to be the Amber Clarks of the world. Let's try to be the guy on the left. And I won't say don't try to be like Bert, but let's not try to be the guy on the right. We just got such a wonderful workplace. And again, I don't want to leave the impression that there's anything ominous in the room. It just, we have, again, the reality is we've had some turnover here at CMDA over the past couple, 3 years. And I think it's important that we talk about these things to ensure we can that we maintain a healthy organization. So happy to expound on any of this, talk about any of the topics that I've covered this morning. But with that, I am done, unless there's any additional conversation. No? Well, with that, let me pray, if I might. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this time that you've given us together this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you for this message that you've given us. Lord, this ministry is so near and dear to us, Father. And Father, just we need to preserve it at all costs, Father. And through that, through the process of relationships, Lord, we can do that. And Father, just give us a great love for one another. Father, let us address conflict with one another in a healthy and godly way, Father, so that this ministry can thrive for another 80-plus years. Lord, we just thank you for Cassie and Seeley being with us this week, Father, and their safe travels here. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us. Give us joy throughout the rest of our day. It's in your name I pray. Amen.